This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Side of me might not know he's real, but I know he's real. Yes, bless his holy name. Stand on your feet with the word of the Lord. Father our God, as we now turn our attention to your word, we pray that the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry will meet us in the text that we're teaching today. Pray that some heart might be caused to hear and to heed what you say. And Father, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do to challenge us, to charge us, and even to change us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Psalms, number 42, and I want to commence reading at verse 11. Psalm number 42. Recorded are these words. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and to the hearers of his holy word. I want to speak from the subject, Longing for God, part three. Longing for God, part three. If you would read those verses 1 through 10, you will get the foundation and formation for our message this morning and understand how we are building on the text and the theme, because verse 1 says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now the word heart is a deer of male species, 5 years and up. And as he, having been chased by hunters, those who would destroy his life, he makes it to the water, to the brooks, to drink. And in the water, he finds refreshment, because he drinks the water and refreshes himself. But when yet fearing the pursuers are still on his trail, he enters into the water and finds refuge. And he can stay underwater for a long period of time, but then he can swim with just his nose sticking up out of the water, going upstream or downstream, until he finds a place where he can come out and be safe from those who hunt him, because his scent, once he goes underneath water, is erased from their trails. So he talks about, just as the deer panteth after the water, so does his soul, in a spiritual sense, panteth after God. There is such a need for God, because the writer is exiled and in trouble and is separated from the temple and the place of worship that he once knew of God and had fellowship with God. And the place of his experience does not allow him the same convenience to be able to go in God's house and God's presence and worship him there. Something has happened over the period of years that has caused him to find that his soul needs to be reconnected with God. My brothers and sisters, I don't care who you are, if you ever come into the place where you know the Lord for yourself And anything hampers or hinders the fellowship, your soul will desire God and His presence more than anything in this world. One of the reasons why the psalmist is talking about these things is because he has recognized that what interplayed between he and God in their fellowship was missing now. There was a separation, and the separation has caused sorrow, so much so that he says he has cried out to God and his tears have become his meat, because day and night his crying has even filled and run into his mouth, that he has lost his appetite and his food has become the tears he has shed because of the great and deep separation he has felt being departed from the Lord. Now he cries out to God in some ways that will be helpful to us to understand that God knows us, God loves us, and God wants us in fellowship with him. May I say to you, may I suggest to you that no matter who you are, no matter what you're going through or what's going through you, there ought to reach a point in time in your life where you recognize, I can't focus on all of these side issues. I've got to keep my mind on the Lord. There reaches a point in your life when you'll find one thing after another thing happening to you to divert your attention away from God, but it's just the enemy's way to try and disconnect you from the source who always supplies. And the psalmist is talking in this vein and in this light because he, not speaking for anybody else, is talking about his relationship and his fellowship. Can I tell you, there reaches a time that your relationship with God must be so secure that you can't speak and you can't help anybody else because they desire not to be with God, but your place is God. This is between me and you, and because it is personal, I'm going to cry out to you in spite of my trials, my tribulation. Read all of this when you get a chance, because I really need to concentrate on verse 11, because here is where our focus is today. First thing I want you to see when we look at the word, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Now, he said this before in verse 5, if you'll look there. He says, same thing in the first part, why art thou cast down, O my soul? What was he talking about? He was talking about depression. He was talking about he had become so caught up in his situation that he took his eyes off his source and found himself wrapped up in self, so much so that he became depressed. Now, can I tell you, when you keep your mind and your eyes on your situation more than you do on your source, it can depress you. See, because what happens is you start talking about, why is this happening to me? You start having a pity party, and you start talking about why it shouldn't be happening to you because of what you do and what you give and how you live. But don't you understand that when God allows things, troubles, pressures, and problems to come your way, it's not to destroy you, but it's to define you. It's not to bring you down. It's to build you up. Sometimes he has to lift you by lowering you so that he can position you where he wants you to be. Oh, listen to me when I tell you, the psalmist is saying, why art thou cast down, oh my soul? Why are you getting depressed? Because you're going through some stuff. See, listen at this, because a whole lot of us think that when we go through stuff, ain't nobody else going through nothing. We can care less about what else the folk going through. It's all about us. You know, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I really don't know what you're going through, because I'm going through enough of it myself. But can I do tell you that there is someone who knows what you're going through, and he has promised he won't put more on you than what you can bear. So if he lets you go through it, go on through it. Don't stop there. Don't stay there. I wish I had somebody. That's why when the psalmist really got a grip in the 23rd Psalm and the 4th verse about who was with him, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's got to let you go through the valley in order to give you the victory. Now listen at me. He says, at the end of verse 5, something different that he says in verse 11. Now, up to this point, I want you to see something. Verse 5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." Listen to this. "For I shall yet praise him." Now, this is where it differs in verse 11 after this. Now, it reads the same way in verse 11 to this point. But now, where it says in verse 5 again, "For I shall yet praise him," he says, why? "For the help of his countenance," or "for the help of his presence." I'm going to praise him because though he's not in my situation, he's not far from my situation. In other words, while I may not be able to see him, he still sees me. And if I really just call out to him, if I really just cry out to him, if I really just lean on him, if I really just depend on him, he won't let me fall because he's closer than I think. Now look at verse 11, because I want you to see something else. Right at that same part where it said, "Pray yet, for I shall yet praise him," it takes on a different turn now. Look at what he says. "Who is the health of my countenance and my God." In other words, when he says he's the health of my countenance, he's talking about he's the preserver of my countenance or my presence. In other words, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on my side, I wouldn't even be here today. And so when you look at the text, there are three things I want to bring out about it so we can look at this in verse 11 so you can understand it a little more clearly. First of all, he's talking about a period. And in the period, in every person's trials, troubles, problems, situations, circumstances, one of the things that you must realize is that every problem, every trouble, every trial has a period. A, that has a specific time to start. Amen. A specific time to start. See, that's why you can't always look at your brother and sister and gauge your situation based on theirs, because God has customized all of our courses. And your course might not be as long or short as mine, as wide or narrow as mine, as hilly or as plain as mine. So I can't look at you and say that this is happening or should happen in my life based on your life. But what I do know is that just like your trials, troubles, and tribulations have a period to start, so do mine. Yes, sir. But this is what I need you to know, that even when your period comes in life where you are experiencing a trial, trouble, tribulation, inclusive of every period is a situation that God has customized for you. Yes. Now listen to me well now. If God has customized your situation, if God has done what he has allowed to be done in your specific and particular case, it is only because he has allowed and he has aligned your blessings with your testings. Have you ever noticed why God has never done to you what he did to Job? See, some of you cry and fall out over one loved one. Job had 10 stretched out there. Now, when was the last time you went to a funeral and one family lost 10 people at one time? And in the midst of the funeral, that was a praise service. See, y'all quiet because you ain't been there. Well, let me help you understand something. He didn't put more on Job than he could bear, nor will he put more on you than what you can bear. And sometimes the greater the blessing, the greater the testing. See, that's why you ought to be careful about wanting to walk in somebody else's shoes. You don't know what they've got to walk through. You don't know what they've got to deal with. You don't know what they've got to handle. All you see are the blessings, but you don't know half of the testings. So every period has a start, but it also has a situation customized for the person who's going through it. But lastly, notice this, it also has a stop. God never gives you a period that does not have a start and a stop and a situation in between. So what does that mean? That means if you understand how God operates, God is only going to allow your trouble to last for so long. This too, turn to your neighbor and say, this too shall pass. Now that's good or bad, it's going to pass. Now listen at this. Listen at this. Secondly, when we look in the text, because he noticed, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Don't you realize? Don't get depressed. There is a period of all of this stuff starting and stopping. Listen at what he says. "And why art thou disquieted?" Listen at him. Why are you anxious? Why are you restless? Why are you uneasy? What is your problem? Do you know whose you are? See, every now and then you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You've got to remind yourself of who you are and whose you are, because your soul, your spirit, your whole makeup will try many times to depend on self. And can I tell you, self ain't a good person to depend on. You need to go to your source. That's why we get depressed, because we can't handle it in ourselves. And the reason we get depressed is because we stop looking at our source. Now, the Bible says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Ain't a thing too hard for him, but is there anything too hard for me? There are a whole lot of things that are too hard for me, that are too hard for you, but there is nothing too hard for the Lord. So next thing you need to see here is there is a process. Not only is there a period, but there is a process. Now there are three things I want you to see in Scripture that he encountered before we get to our next point in the process. The first one is, look in verse 1. The Bible says, "As the hart or deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." So in the process, he discovers that he has been panting, longing, desiring. There is this insatiable desire to have fellowship with God. He's not lost his relationship. He's been exiled from God. He's been taken away, and he has been separated from God in the flesh, but not in the spirit. There is a desire to be in oneness with the Lord. So now he is panting. He is longing and desiring to be with God in this period and in this process. Number two, I want you to look at verse 4. Because when you look at verse 4, you're going to see that there is a pouring out of his spirit. Look at what he says. "When I remember these things, I pour out of my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." Now he's talking about here, in this thing called holy day, came in Exodus 23 and 17, where all the men three times a year got together, and it was a law that they went to the house of God and they praised and they worshiped God together. And could you see along the streets, fields, coming down the road, where men gathered together on their way to worship and praise God? Look at what he said. He used to be the drum major. He used to be the one out front. He used to be the one giving the cadence. He used to be the one singing the songs and leading them. He was the main one out front. And now that he's going through his situations, he's finding out that people are questioning him. Where is your God now? Because I got news for you. When you lift the Lord up and when you glorify God, there are some people who think you won't go through something. But when you go through something, then they don't see your God at that moment. It's because God is waiting to show up bigger in the grand finale. And when they don't see him in the process, I've got news for you. Before it's all over, he will show up and show out in a way that even the enemy can't miss him. So he's pouring out to God. "God, I used to be in the fellowship. I used to be out front. Folk used to see me praise you. But all of that's gone. I miss the fellowship. I miss where we used to be and what we used to do." He's pouring out to God. But look in verse 5, because it's still a part of the process. He's now pouting. Y'all gonna catch this. Because can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when the Lord don't come when you want him, every now and then you start pouting. You know, Jeremiah got mad with God. He was pouting. "Lord, I'm in derision daily. I'm doing what you told me to do, and now I've been placed in a dungeon. I've been placed in a dark, deep dungeon, and I made up my mind. I'm not going to preach no more for you. I'm not going to call on your name no more." All of these things he said because he was pouting. Yeah. Many times you got mad with the Lord, "I ain't going to pay my tithe. I ain't going to give nothing in offering. I ain't coming to church. I ain't doing this. Pouting. Y'all can get quiet. I know I'm right about it. Things don't go your way. Got your lips sticked out. Not stuck out. It's still there now. What you pouting for? But I want you to know it's a part of the process. Look at what he pouted about. He says in the first portion, why? The same thing he says in verse 11. Art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? But he started getting mad with himself. And I got news for you. When you start getting depressed, that's who you ought to get mad with. Because you may oppress me, but it's up to me if I become depressed. See, because only me can depress me. You may oppress me, but only me can depress me. And I got news for you. If I don't stay depressed long, I won't maintain an oppression long. Lord, y'all gonna get that on your way going home. Listen at this now, because the way I respond to the things that happen to me causes God to respond in like manner. So if I look down and start talking down, start acting down, start speaking down, then I shall have what I say. But if I say, Lord, I thank you because you're in control of this matter. I thank you that what the devil meant for evil, you meant for good. Lord, I thank you that I'm more than a conqueror. Lord, I thank you that I'm an overcomer. Lord, I thank you that when you get through with me, I'm going to be bigger, better, and better than I ever was. See, it's about how you see yourself in your situation that causes you either to be depressed and oppressed. Listen at this, and I want you to see this. Listen. So his process was panting, pouring, and pouting. But I got news for you. It didn't stop there. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now listen at this, because you're going to notice, let's go back to verse 11, when he says, for why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Now this is the turning point. See, I don't care what you're going through, there ought to be a turning point. See, because you can't help some things that happen to you. Some of them you ain't had nothing to do with. But even in the things you've had nothing to do with, even in the situation, there ought to come a turning point. And the only reason why there ought to come a turning point is because you know the one who has the whole world, including this situation, in his hand. And listen to what God does. He, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, you can find God is in control. God has the ability to conquer change and everything that happens in your life. And so if you just call on him, cry out to him, he has the ability to turn this thing. You on the bottom right now, but while you're on the bottom, just praise him. You're on the bottom right now, but while you're praising him, you might not even feel it. But on the axis of this situation, God is turning this thing around. And while you're down, before you know it, you look up again and God's got you on top because you were praising him in your situation. Oh, I wish I had somebody here today. Look at the word. There are three things. Point number three. In your praise. Because not only is there a period, and not only is there a process in verse 11, but there's also a praise. Look at what he says. Hope thou in God. All right, this is the pivot point. This is the turning point. Now, after he takes his eyes off his situation and places his eyes on his source, listen at this. Even though things hadn't changed on the outside, they have changed on the inside. And if they change on the inside, how many of you know it won't be long before it changes on the outside? Y'all ain't hearing me here. So now he says, hope in God. And he's seeing a bigger picture now. He's understanding this thing better now. He sees who he is and whose he is. And look at what the next part of the verse says. For I shall yet Now, do you know what yet means? Well, let me help you understand what yet means. Yet mean, even though you don't think I've got a reason to praise him, I will yet keep on praising him. Even though you don't see the answer, I know he is the answer. I will yet keep on praying. In other words, when folk try to make me look down, I will look up and yet, even though I might be knocked down, I will, while I'm down, yet, even though the enemies may surround me and overtake me and outnumber me, I will yet. Oh, y'all not hearing me here. In other words, I'm going to keep on keeping on because I know whose I am. Woo! Listen at this. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Look, let me tell you about the praise now. Sit down just a minute. Let me help you see this. Because there are three things now that ought to happen in your praise. Three things that ought to make up your praise. First of all, your praise ought to be present. Present. What do you mean present? That means that no matter what your life's situation may be, no matter whether you are up or down, sick or whole, right or wrong, in or out, whatever your predicament is, you ought to always be in a position to look at the one who never changes and give him praise. Your praise ought to be present. That ought to never be nothing that happens in your life that robs God of his praise. Your praise ought to always be present, no matter whether things are good and no matter whether things are bad. Your praise ought to steadily remain constant for God because he changes not. How many of us say all the time, God is good? Well, if he's good all the time, he ought to be praised. Come on, help me somebody. My circumstances might not be good all the time, but he's good all the time. So even while stuff is messed up and it ain't right, it still ain't got nothing to do with me praising him. Now listen at this, because I want you to see something else. Not only must your praise be present, but you're going to see that your praise ought to be powerful. Listen at this. When he says, yet,